This is a special edition of the RTI Press Pass, powered by Rocky Top Insider. Here are your hosts, Rick Butler and Ryan Shumpert.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass podcast. My name is Rick Butler. Join with me, as always, the one, the only Ryan Shumpert. It is a huge week ahead of us with the SEC tournament in Nashville, which, funny enough, is where you are right now, Ryan.
Yeah, I went ahead and got ahead of the travel by a good day or two. So went ahead and drove over this afternoon and getting things nice and ready on the early side before Tennessee tips things off in the morning session, which is not really the morning. It's 1 p.m. Eastern time, but in the early session on Friday, early afternoon.
All right. Look, you don't got to rub it in. You're an overachiever. You're better than me. You're already there getting prepared. Now, you're not going to go check out the, what some people are calling the game of the century this coming up Wednesday night, Vanderbilt versus Arkansas. You're not going to go check that out? It's not on your radar?
No, I'm not getting into the Wednesday night games. I might try to go to the night session on Thursday if I can get some friends in the area to go with me, but we're still TBA on that.
There you go. Well, we got TBA. All right, well, we got plenty to talk about, and it's not going to be the longest episode that we've recorded today. It's not going to be sort of like our normal midweek podcast. We're breaking down a lot from football, basketball, baseball, everything combined. This is sort of just a preview of the SEC tournament. It's obviously kicking off tonight as we record this on Wednesday. Games are going to happen on Thursday. Tennessee's going to start on Friday, and so that is where we will kind of lead into. But again, your Wednesday night games here tonight in the first round, Vanderbilt and Arkansas taken off, and then Missouri and Georgia. I would imagine by the time that most people listen to this, those games will be in the rearview mirror. So on to Thursday, just kind of as a broad statement, as just kind of a broad look at the bracket overall, is there any path or any specific matchup that has kind of caught your eye as things have gone on? I think for me, looking right there at that potential South Carolina-Auburn game is good, but is there any that's standing out to you right off the bat?
Well, I think it's kind of just the fact that you look at the two sides and the, you know, top three highest seeded teams in each side, Tennessee, Auburn, South Carolina on the top half of the bracket, all really defensive minded teams. And obviously Auburn and Tennessee both have been good offensively this year. They have balance, but those are probably the three best, without looking at the stats right now, I would guess the three best defensive teams in the SEC. And then you look at the bottom half with two seed Kentucky, three seed Alabama, and then the next highest seed, the sixth seed Florida. Those are the three best offensive teams and teams that all kind of struggle defensively. Probably those three struggle more defensively than at least Tennessee and Auburn struggle offensively. So to me, that part's kind of intriguing. It makes for what should be some fun games in the bottom half of the bracket. And I'll just be, as a whole, Florida is the team I could kind of see. The team that didn't get a double bye that I could really see making a deep run in this thing is Florida. They've been playing good basketball kind of down the stretch. I say that. I guess they did lose to Vanderbilt on Saturday, so that was pretty bad. But I'm high on Florida, and I think when you kind of look at Alabama, who's been struggling some, and some teams that I think they match up pretty well with on the bottom half of that bracket, I can see the Gators making a run.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of shootout potential there in the bottom half of the bracket with Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, whoever might else be down there. You know, we were talking about this in a group text just over the last couple of days, and I think that you came to an answer. Tennessee being the one seed, we knew that that was going to happen, but we didn't exactly know how the rest of the top four seeds were going to match out. Kentucky gets the two seed, Alabama gets the three, and Auburn gets the four. Do you think that that is the ideal line, or at least the ideal route to the championship game for Tennessee, taking on that Auburn Tiger squad in a rematch after, I guess, Tennessee's win back in Knoxville just last month, rather than either a third game against Kentucky or a third game against Alabama?
No, I mean, I don't think it is. I think Tennessee would be better off playing really either Alabama or Kentucky. Definitely Alabama would be the one I'd say would be the best matchup for Tennessee. But even Kentucky, again, you know, I think would be a better matchup than Tennessee. And I think there's a lot of, you could debate it either way on Kentucky or Auburn, but I just think, generally speaking, Auburn's a team. Bruce Pearl always seems to play Tennessee really tough, always seems to have a good game plan. Jani Broome's type of guy that's given Tennessee trouble all year. He dominated Tennessee in Knoxville, and if it wasn't for incredible Dalton Connect spurt, Tennessee probably loses that game at home. Now, granted, Dalton Connect's very capable of doing that. We've seen Dalton Connect score like that in a number of games this year, so it's not like that's just something that's not part of Tennessee. I don't mean to indicate that it is. And then the last thing I'd say on it is that I think the SEC tournament will mean a lot more to Auburn than it will to definitely Kentucky. John Calipari talked about it last week post game of, I think someone asked him if he had mentioned to his team that they had to win against Tennessee to get a double bye, and he was like, "We don't care about the tournament we care about. I didn't mention that to them." So, all that to say, it's kind of just picking hairs. I mean, it's gonna whoever Tennessee played on Saturday of those three games, it was gonna be a tough game. Even if South Carolina defeats Auburn, it's gonna be a tough game. So again, you're kind of splitting hairs on it. But I think, in my opinion, Auburn, would kind of be the last of that group that you'd want to see.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And you do add South Carolina in that top five from the SEC are obviously all really talented. You throw in maybe a Mississippi State and Florida on the back end of that, but I like what you're saying, and I think you're totally right. Auburn and Tennessee have played each other well the last couple of years. They've been close games. Tennessee a little bit less familiar with them than they have been with Alabama and Kentucky. I maybe would have leaned towards Auburn. I don't think I have a giant solidified opinion on it, but for me, when you come to tournament play, and obviously the SEC tournament going to be a lot different from the NCAA tournament, but to me it's a guard-driven tournament, and guards worry me. And Alabama and Kentucky obviously have two guards, or a couple of guards that can go off, and not to say that Auburn doesn't, but maybe their guard's just a little bit less reliable with all that emphasis on Jahni Broome. But I think you're exactly right. There's no route that's a cakewalk for Tennessee. You're going to be going up against a highly ranked tournament team no matter what. I think Kentucky projects on the 3-4 line. Alabama projects on the 4 line, and Auburn projects on the 4-5. So we'll see where those teams end up for the NCAA tournament. But obviously, that this is just a stepping stone to that big dance coming up later in March. As for Tennessee, they're going to be playing on Friday. You kind of mentioned off the top, 12 o'clock Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. They're going to be playing against either the winner of LSU and Mississippi State, the Tigers being the 8 seed, the Bulldogs being the 9 seed. Go back to February 7th, I believe it was. Tennessee drums LSU in Knoxville by 20 points, but that very first loss from the SEC slate came at the hands of Mississippi State. If I'm remembering all this correctly, Mississippi State is the only team from the SEC that Tennessee has not had a chance to avenge a loss on. So you're talking about two interesting storylines right there. How do you kind of see that playing out, and who do you think is going to be playing Tennessee coming up on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have a strong feel for necessarily who will win that game. You're right on all that stuff. Mississippi State's the only team Tennessee hasn't beat. LSU, Tennessee obviously beat LSU. I think Tennessee would win either game. I think from and I'm sure Mississippi State will probably be favored by a few points, and I would pick them to win. But to me, Tennessee should much rather want to play Mississippi State, less because of the matchup, but just more due to the fact that Mississippi State is 42, I think, in net right now, and LSU is like 92. So a win over Mississippi State on a neutral site would be a quad one win for Tennessee. I think that would go, I don't know if a long ways, but it would certainly bolster their chances of getting a number one seed. It would do a lot more for Tennessee's resume and their number one seed resume than a win over LSU would. And I think Tennessee would win either of these games. And Mississippi State's a team that's really struggled away from home this year. Obviously both teams kind of have a good big man. Tolu Smith's better than the Baker kid at LSU, but both, present some matchup issues. But as a whole, I think Tennessee would win either of these games. And it would do a lot more for Tennessee, like I said, resume, if they got the Bulldogs instead of the Tigers.
Yeah, because there's still that fight, and you've written about it over on RockyTopInsider.com over the last week or so, but there's a fight right now, and a lot of people are, a lot of the experts right now, Jerry Palm, Joe Lunardi, whoever else it might be, they have Tennessee lined up as that one seed, but there's a fight for it between Tennessee, North Carolina, and Arizona. Now, Arizona's regular season finale loss to Southern California, that sort of bumped them to the back spot in the rankings out of the trio, but there's still a tough fight between Tennessee and North Carolina. It seems like if Tennessee can go out there and win two games, that would solidify things. That would absolutely lock it up, considering that Tennessee would be beating their first-round opponent. You just talked about it, whether it be LSU or Mississippi State, but then you get a really solid win over either Kentucky or South Carolina, to me, in that next round. So I think that would really solidify things for Tennessee. But like you mentioned, even when you're talking about this Friday game, there are a couple of variables to factor into that. I do agree, though. I think that Tennessee comes away with a win in the first round. We'll see where things go from there. But that's a game where Tennessee is rolling. Tennessee can win that game, especially with it being in Nashville. A lot of Tennessee fans there, I can imagine.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think Kentucky will certainly, as always, have the most people in Nashville this week. But Tennessee will have a good contingent, and it probably works out well for both Tennessee the team and all the Tennessee fans wanting to go to the game, that they, you know, get on the opposite side of the bracket as Kentucky and they won't have to fight. I'm sure it'll still be a ton of Kentucky fans for all the games,
yeah,
but you won't have to fight as head on for tickets at the same session. So definitely a plus for Tennessee there.
So looking at that bottom side of the top bracket, so it's sort of Tennessee's opponent for the semifinals, if they do make it there, you're talking about Vanderbilt, Arkansas. Winner goes to South Carolina. Winner of that game plays Auburn for that chance in the quarterfinals. I think that while it's, you know, obviously it's sort of hard to predict, you know, is Tennessee going to be playing South Carolina? Is it going to be another game against Auburn there in that potential Saturday matchup? To me, and I was looking at this earlier for a story about Santiago Vescovi shooting, to me it comes out to, got to get off to a good start, especially they're playing in a neutral site, but got to get off to a good start in sort of that first 5 to 10 minute range. But then, of course, just the first half in general. Tennessee has sort of proven themselves to be a good second half team throughout this season, whether it's been the comeback against Georgia, the comeback against North Carolina. They've presented themselves as a good second half 20 minute team, but some of these first half woes have been struggling for Tennessee, or have made Tennessee struggle. Tennessee scored 22 points in the first half against Mississippi State, 26 points in their loss to South Carolina in the first half, 28 first half points in the Texas A&M loss, and 29 first half points in the Kentucky loss. So there's a little bit of a through line between all four of Tennessee's SEC losses, and that's that they've just struggled getting out of the gates in those first 20 minutes. So, you know, once time goes on, I'm sure we might record after that first quarterfinals game as well. No matter who it's going to be, I think that just getting off to a good start in these games, and I know that sounds elementary, that's obviously a generic thing to say, but I think that the numbers obviously back it up, and that when Tennessee struggles in the first half, it could present problems down the road. So I think for Tennessee, again, whether you're talking about a South Carolina game, whether you're talking about an Auburn game, it's important to get off to a good start, and a lot of the times you lean on your veterans to be able to do that.
Certainly. I mean, it's just what we talked about on, you know, the post-game instant reaction kind of down on the court, is that that's been a common theme of Tennessee's losses this year, that they've gotten off to slow starts in those games. So you want to see them come out fast in all these games, and you just laid out the numbers there. For the most part, it has been the offense that's been bad in the first half, and the offense that has got them in a hole in that game. The North Carolina game, it was the defense. The A&M game, it was a little bit of both, probably more the defense. But Kentucky game last Saturday, South Carolina game, they were missing a bunch of – I mean, first play of the game, Jonas Adu missed a wide-open layup. The Mississippi State game, the offense was real bad. So that's the thing you kind of point to. And especially when you're talking about that semifinal and just what I talked about earlier, Auburn and Mississippi State, two really good defensive teams. So that's what you're going to that's what you would really point to as – where you would struggle in that game. If you struggle early, you would think it would be the offense. So I think that's a good point. That's a big piece of the puzzle. And I think, you know, especially in either of those two matchups, and to me, you worry about it more with just good defensive teams, is getting guys other than Dalton Connect involved. I mean, Dalton Connect has been able to save Tennessee in some games and score against some really good teams. And obviously that's huge to have. It's extremely important, but it's just what we talked about all season. Tennessee's going to be at their best offensively when they have good ball movement, high assist numbers. They're getting a lot of guys involved. Certainly Dalton Connect's taking a lot of shots, but they're not as dependent on him creating in isolation situations. So you look for that to happen, especially against those tough defensive teams, because those are the teams that usually do a better job of taking away some of Tennessee's better offensive options besides Connect.
Yeah, obviously, you mentioned Connect, and he's been a terror for teams over the recent stretch. But something interesting that Rick Barnes also talked about after that Kentucky loss and sort of followed up on it during his midweek press conference this week was just, hey, we need a little bit more balance, right? Dalton Connect is an outstanding scorer who can score at different levels of the court, but there needs to be a little bit more balance throughout the roster. I think if you're Tennessee, you feel great about what you have with Zakai Ziegler leading the charge. Jonas Adu going to be a big factor in these games coming up. When Tennessee's been good, a lot of it's because Jonas Adu has been able to be good. That creates a lot of space there on the court. But I think when you're looking outside of that trio, though, you look at Tennessee's other two starting veterans to make some sort of impact between Josiah Jordan-James and Santiago Vescovi. You look for Jordan Ganey to provide that spark that he can do off of the bench. And then, of course, Jemai Meshack being able to guard at a bunch of different levels. You saw how important he was, especially here late in the season, especially in that Alabama game as well. But I guess besides that trio, that core trio of Ziegler, Adu, and Connect, I mean, what does this look like for Tennessee's team? And who do you think really needs to kind of step up into an all-around scoring role to kind of maybe get Tennessee through those games and just give them a little bit more of a presence on that offensive end?
Well, I'm interested in start with someone in the trio first, which is Adu. And, you know, it's not a something we haven't talked about, but it feels like he's kind of the biggest X factor for Tennessee offensively, and maybe just as the team as a whole. And I think you're going to get a good test this week. I mean, if you play Mississippi State in the first game, you're going to face Tolu Smith, who is an all-SEC big, first-team all-SEC big man. If you get Auburn like you think you will, you know, you'll face Jani Broome, who's the best big man in the conference. And then even if it's South Carolina, that's a team that, while they don't have a great big man, to have some physicality down low and make things hard on you. So I think you're going to see Jonas plays some tough matchups this week. And when you're talking about a guy that's key for Tennessee, a guy that's been a little inconsistent, a guy that's going to be important in some second weekend, especially second weekend NCAA tournament games if Tennessee gets there, I think you want to see him turn in some of his better performances against good competition this week and start building into it. So he's a guy that I would say is big just because of the potential matchups and just because of his importance onto the team as a whole.
Yeah, and hey, I'll echo this, as Tolu Smith was definitely a name that we heard at Tennessee basketball practice earlier on Wednesday. Not that Tennessee is specifically planning for Mississippi State, but obviously just in their total focus for the tournament and their kind of final practice from Knoxville in preparation, he was one of the guys that they were spotlighting and sort of game planning for. So I think you're right. I think that's going to be a big plan of attack for Tennessee, and just sort of how do you defend that on his end, but how do you give a little help down there, down low? Jonas Adu, Tobe Awaka, going to have their hands full this tournament.
No doubt, and I think that was like his third game back, Tolu Smith, because he missed the first, most of the non-conference with an injury. I think it was his third game back with the Tennessee game, and that was kind of the first game where he got back to being the guy that he was last year. So
he went for 23 points on 7-10 shooting, going 9-12 from the free throw line. So yeah, he certainly had a welcome party.
And I don't know if it was, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but he scored the 2 points late that gave, the game was tied with 45 seconds left or something like that, and they gave Mississippi State the lead. So he was really good. And then the other guy, I mean, I think it's the guy you wrote about earlier today, just Vescovi. Can Tennessee get more out of him going into the tournament? They need to get at least something. They need to get more out of him than they've gotten the last handful of games when he really hasn't done much of anything. And what exactly does that look like? How many points is reasonable or realistic? I don't know. I think if Tennessee's going to find a different gear at this point in the season, it's going to be because Vescovi gets a little more comfortable offensively and gets into a rhythm and hits some shots, makes Tennessee more dangerous from the perimeter, hitting three-pointers. And again, I don't know that you can just necessarily expect it to all click at one time, but it feels like this is kind of a last buildup of Tennessee hoping to get more confidence out of him on the offensive end and get just a little bit more from him, as he's a guy that, I don't know if I'd call him the X factor as much, just because of that last point. I don't think you haven't seen it enough this year to think you're going to get it. But if Tennessee's going to find another gear, I think that's where it comes from. And any sort of consistency or production he can give them on offense, I think is just important because they didn't have that the last week of the season.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And when you're talking about Vescovi, and a lot of people are focusing on sort of the scoring drought this year. He's at a career low, 6.8 points per game. He's only been in single-digit point scoring on average once during his five-year career here at Tennessee. I guess this will make it twice, but that was all the way back during his sophomore season. There was a lot of times where Tennessee needed to rely on his scoring ability. And, when you talk about sort of the drought that's come up throughout the end of this year, that's not to say that he hasn't been a good player, because there's been a lot of good things that he's done, and he doesn't need to be Tennessee's leading scorer anymore. I don't think that he has to be Tennessee's leading scorer for them to advance in either one of these tournaments coming up, but his presence on the court is just so important as a threat that people have to consider. It has to factor into an impact about what they're doing from a defensive end. But then also, like we talked about a minute ago, man, it just helps the Tennessee court with spacing. And I think there's a lot of truth to the fact that Tennessee's offense operates very well when there is that space on the court, when there are multiple scores that can be attacking from different places on the court. I wish, maybe they have it, but they probably don't. I wish we could get stats on how much Santiago Vescovi runs just in a 40-minute game, because it feels like he's all over the place. He's always on the ground fighting for a loose ball. He's running in and out between screens, and a lot of those are coming from passes. But I thought that Rick Barnes had a couple of interesting comments today and then after that Kentucky game just about him. He did confirm that, hey, look, he confirmed today, Wednesday, that, yeah, when they're going through post-game film and stuff like that, both the coaching staff and his teammates are saying, hey, that's an opportunity we want you to shoot the ball, or that's an opportunity where you can attack the paint. And so those things are being pointed out. Rick Barnes said after the game, he said this quote about Vescovi, he's got to do it, talking about his scoring ability. he's been here. I mean, I wish I could go. I wish I could get him shooting more confidently. If I could, I would do it. He's going to have to do it. He's going to have to trust in himself and believe in how good of a player he is. And he's going to have to do it. And then today on Wednesday, he added a little bit more encouragement side to it. But he said, he's done so much for us. And I just want to go out on a great note and him playing up to his ability and what he's capable of. But I really hope so. I think that so many people are pulling for him to do that, but it's going to be up to him. He knows what he's capable of. He's got to believe in it, and he's got to go out and go after it. So there's certainly a lot of encouragement coming from within the Tennessee program. Again, he doesn't have to be Tennessee's leading scorer for them to make a run in the tournament, but I think that he's got to be productive from the scoring perspective. And look, they just won an SEC regular season tournament with him not, you know, averaging less than 7 points a game. But this is the tournament when you do need those X factors that you're talking about, Ryan. You do need those players to step up in big moments in order to advance in the tournament. And he's kind of one of those guys that eyes will be on.
No doubt about it. And, you know, it just feels like kind of goes back to your point a second ago about how much he runs during the game. Like, I bet that number's down a decent bit this year because they ran so much stuff, especially when Zakai went down last year. So much of their offense was based on, and even when Zakai was out there, him running off ball and running off screens consistently and trying to get him an open look. And obviously they don't do that as much this year. They still have some off ball movement, but it's not nearly as predicated towards getting him open looks. And I feel like they've run more ball screens this year. I don't have the numbers in front of me or anything, but I feel like they've run more ball screens this year than they ever have under Barnes, which obviously doesn't play into his strength. So it's how can he kind of fit in a different way? Obviously the very simple version is taking and hitting threes. But how you get there, how you get those open looks becomes a lot different this season. So there's a part of me that's like skeptical that he's really going to find a perfect rhythm of it now. But there's another part of me that also thinks at some point in the tournaments this week or going on the NCAA tournament, he's at least going to have one game where he hits three or four shots and just comes up big for Tennessee. Because I think he's a player that is making an impact even when he's not making shots out there. And I think he'll have a game where he settles in and kind of gets hot and hits some big shots. So that's kind of the middle ground that I find myself in of thinking he'll, you know, have a big game at some point, but also not thinking we're going to see that consistently at this point. Cause I think what would lead to him getting those open shots and playing and shooting with a lot of confidence, it just feels like we would have gotten that already at this point. Doesn't mean it's impossible. That's just kind of my read.
Yeah, I think kind of going off of what you said, you know, this is a little bit of a far cry from maybe last year's tournament when you were looking at those games and saying, okay, well, Josiah Jordan James, you know, he really needs to score 10 points because if he scores 10 points, Tennessee's got a much better record than when he doesn't score 10 points. But I think with Vescovy, like what you mentioned, right, it's not even about scoring 15, 16 points a game. It's hitting a few key shots that changes the way that the opposing team is maybe scheming against Tennessee or guarding against Tennessee or just allowing the Vols to open things up a little bit more. So a few key shots a game, I think would certainly go a long way for him.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it feels, I think you could say this about a lot of Tennessee's players, James and Vescovy especially, but it just feels like they get a shot early to go down and that would go a long way for confidence and then playing with confidence. And, you know, that's kind of the number I've been saying is really, you get 15 points combined from those two guys in a game, I think Tennessee's going to be tough to beat. And if you get 20, they're going to be really tough to beat. So it doesn't necessarily just have to be Vescovy. I just think Vescovy, it feels like if he gets going, he could do it with some more consistency because we've seen him do it with some more consistency in the past. And certainly the volume shooting ability with some decent makes we've seen more in the past.
Yeah, and that's sort of what the team is looking for as they enter postseason play. Even after Dalton Connect's 40-point game against Kentucky, one of the first things that Rick Barnes talked about in that postgame press conference was, hey, I told Dalton, you know, you've got a hot hand, but we've got to continue to distribute this ball. We need balanced scoring for when tournament time comes because you just need as many horses ready to run as you possibly can get. All right, the SEC tournament happening in Nashville this week, but we all know that that leads to the bigger dance and the bigger story, which is the NCAA March Madness tournament. We talked about it a little bit just maybe 10, 15 minutes ago, the race for that last one seed, the one seed out there in the West. If Tennessee were to get that spot, they would go to Charlotte for the first two rounds, then over to Los Angeles before potentially making it over to Phoenix. That is the site of the Final Four weekend. But there's been a lot of conversation. Will Tennessee get that one seed? Will they get the two seed? Rocky Top Insider contributor Nathaniel Rutherford, he put up a piece on RockyTopInsider.com just sort of breaking that down, especially from a statistical perspective. Rick Barnes even talked about it today. But what do you think? Where's Tennessee right now sort of in this conversation, fighting for that last one seed, potentially getting that last or that last one seed, potentially getting that first two seed? That would send Tennessee to most likely the Dallas region and the South region. Where's sort of your mind about this as we're just about a day or two from Tennessee starting the SEC tournament and the last few games happening before that selection committee makes their decisions on Sunday?
Well, from, you know, everything it looks like right now, Tennessee remains on the one seed going into this week. And it feels really narrow over North Carolina. You mentioned it earlier, but that loss to USC, I just don't see how they can really justify putting Arizona in that spot. They go 15-5 in a really bad Pac-12. They have only one of the three teams with a quad three loss, and I believe they have three quad two losses as well, which Tennessee has one quad two loss. And North Carolina has two. So coming in this week, comparing Tennessee, North Carolina's resume, Tennessee 24-7, 14-4 in the SEC, North Carolina 25-6, 17-3 in an ACC that's at least not nearly as deep as the SEC. Tennessee 7-6 against quad one opponents, North Carolina 7-4. So to me, it feels really, really tight entering the week. But according to at least all the main bracketologists, Tennessee holds firm to that last spot ever so narrowly.
The statistics say that obviously you want to be the one seed. You want to be as highly ranked as you possibly can be. Rick Barnes talked it today. He said it was a little bit more about matchups to him. I think he's a little bit less intrigued with what numbers besides Tennessee's name as the matchups they're going to be potentially going against. So obviously those are things that we can't break down until everything happens on Sunday. But that's at least maybe a little bit of a perspective into what's going on in Rick Barnes's brain, or at least that's what he said to the media today. But I think there is plenty of validity to that. I think fans certainly want the one seed. I think they want to see that one next to Tennessee's name. I think they understand that most of the time when you're watching the Final Four, the Elite Eight, certainly, you're seeing a lot of one seeds right there in those final games. But again, it's a lot to do with matchups. Tennessee's drawn some bad matchups in the past. Other teams have gotten good matchups by playing Tennessee. It's a matchup type of tournament with all the variables that go into it. So we'll have to wait and see till Sunday. But it does look like with a pretty good showing here in the SEC tournament, a one seed is certainly in grasp for the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, and to that, you know, the first point of just the matchups part of it. Obviously, that's the more important part of it. But one, you're going to have Arizona as your two if you're out west. And like you said, it doesn't – just because you're the top one seed doesn't mean you're put with the worst – you're the top two seed doesn't mean you're put with the worst one seed. And it doesn't seem like, at least to this point, I haven't seen a single projection that has Tennessee as the two seed in the West all year. It feels like they're going to be in the Midwest or more likely, like you said earlier, the South. And when you talk about being one of the top two seeds, to me, you'd much rather be with Arizona than Houston. So that's a big part of it. And then just kind of as on the macro level, I think the four seeds are worse than the three seeds. And which, again, no duh, but I think there's a good drop-off there, and you said it a minute ago. A couple of those SEC teams look like they could very possibly be four seeds, right?
Yes.
You had a stat a second ago.
Out of the two from ESPN and CBS, you have Kentucky as a 3-4, you have Alabama as a 4-4, and you have Auburn as a 5-4. So all three teams are kind of skating that line, the four line, give or take a little bit.
And I don't know this for a rule for a fact, so maybe it's not a set in stone rule, but they very rarely put teams where they would match up with a conference opponent in the Sweet 16. So that kind of dims down the possibilities. And one of the four seeds, Illinois, who I think is a good matchup for Tennessee. Tennessee already beat them this year. Illinois, to me, is a team that is playing maybe not much worse, but they played better basketball earlier in the season than they are right now. So you kind of start looking at those specific matchups. Rick Barnes mentioned his matchups. Almost everything about the matchups in the second weekend, I think, would play better for Tennessee if they get the one seed in the West. The one thing that I would say to watch there, my brother asked me this, over the weekend, like, is there a 7-10 seed that you've seen and you don't want Tennessee to play, you think would be bad for them? And it's Gonzaga. Gonzaga's been really good in the last month of the season. And certainly they're not playing a strong competition, but the analytics match it up. They won in Rupp Arena. That's it. And they're somewhere on that line between a 7-10 seed. And obviously they're out west. I don't know if that would have any effect on it, but that's the one team, if I was Tennessee, I wouldn't want to see. So I guess that's kind of a pre NCAA tournament tidbit. And then finally, the last thing I was going to say, the big question with all this is, if Tennessee wins two games and loses in the SEC tournament championship and North Carolina wins the SEC tournament, is that enough for North Carolina to jump Tennessee? Or I guess even going back a step, if Tennessee loses on Saturday and North Carolina doesn't win the ACC tournament, like, does that, but they advance further, they advance to the championship game, is that enough for North Carolina to pass Tennessee? To me, that's kind of where it becomes interesting, and I'm not really sure what the answer is. Obviously, Tennessee's working against the blue blood nature of which will help North Carolina out, and also having the head-to-head loss.
Yeah, that's a great point. You're kind of in that tricky situation where, you know, it's a double whammy of not only does the losing team exit earlier, but the winning team out of that scenario, right, between Tennessee and North Carolina, whoever goes further, if one were to lose somewhat early, has a chance to pick up really impressive wins during that time as well. North Carolina probably going to be going up against one of the top ACC teams there as well. So certainly a lot of variables on the board for both Tennessee and North Carolina. As we look at it now, obviously Tennessee could do the best by just winning the SEC tournament outright. But certainly it looks like two wins throughout the weekend would put them in a pretty good position to fight for that one seed and have a really good argument for that one seed, no matter what North Carolina does. But as you mentioned, man, it's a wild college basketball world where things can go different ways, especially there in the final hour. So Sunday's certainly going to be an interesting results day, but there's a lot of basketball to be played up until then.
No doubt about it. Yeah, it can all change in a hurry, so it should be a fun weekend. And, you know, obviously by the time we reconvene again, we'll have a bracket and we'll have an idea of what Tennessee's path looks like, but plenty of basketball to be played before then.
Plenty of basketball to be played before then is correct. Starting out Friday, March 15th, noon Central Time, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tennessee will take on the winner of 8-seed LSU and 9-seed Mississippi State in the quarterfinals, then with a potential matchup against South Carolina, maybe Auburn. I'm hard to believe that Vanderbilt or Arkansas is going to make a run all the way up to the semifinals, but who knows? A lot of interesting basketball coming up on the horizon. We will have you locked in for all of it. As always, make sure you're going to check out RockyTopInsider.com each and every day for the most up-to-date Tennessee news, notes, and content, as Ryan and I will both be in Nashville for the SEC tournament. However long Tennessee is playing, we will be there reporting on the whole thing. Also, by the way, little nugget for you. I know we didn't talk any football, but we're less than a week away from Tennessee spring football practice. I know people are really excited about that. Ryan and I think, have both been already fielding questions about the football season coming up. So certainly hardly ever a dull day in the Tennessee football world. That is on the horizon, but there's a lot of basketball to get through in the meantime. Ryan, I am glad that you made it to Nashville safely already. Hold things down until the rest of the Knoxville Brigade makes their way over to the mid-state. But otherwise, man, have a good time over there. If you want to follow Ryan Shumpert on Twitter, you can certainly do that. In fact, I would encourage it at rshump00. That's S-C-H-U-M-P. If you want to follow myself, you can do that at rick_butler. But of course, just be making sure to follow along with Rocky Top Insider at Rocky Top Insider on all different social media platforms as we go through this SEC tournament and beyond. Ryan, anything we missed before we go ahead and head out of here on a Wednesday night?
No, not really. I mean, I had the story earlier the week, kind of a rooting guide for Tennessee when it comes to a couple of these other games. You know, one that was kind of could maybe be borderline, Oklahoma, I think, was 43 in net. North Carolina had beat them on a neutral site, so if they'd fallen out of the top 50, that would become a quad two win instead of a quad one win. Oklahoma lost their first game in the Big 12 championship today. So that's obviously a plus. Tennessee should be rooting against North Carolina State to make a run, because that could potentially turn into a quad one win for the Tar Heels when they won in Raleigh. And then for Tennessee's side of it, I already mentioned the Mississippi State, but Florida's the one that's kind of on the border. They've gone back and forth. So that Florida run that I mentioned and I could see happening would probably be good for Tennessee, would probably add Tennessee another quad one win to the resume without necessarily winning a game, which, again, is kind of the ridiculousness of this whole thing a little bit, but that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, it is. That was a really good article that you put out. I completely forgot to mention it. I meant to do it at the top of the show today. Do you remember what it was called? Obviously, the people can head over to RockyTopInsider.com and go over to the basketball section, find it pretty easily. But do you remember kind of how to point people that direction?
Tennessee Basketball Rooting Guide Entering Conference Tournament Week, and it was on Tuesday. So scroll back to March 12th, and you'll be able to find it, or I'm sure if you Google that headline, and if you Google that headline, Rocky Top Insider, I'm sure it'll definitely come up.
You will certainly find it there. You can also find it on our Facebook pages, which have been getting a lot of attention as the Tennessee world ramps up with a lot of sports going on, basketball and baseball being the primary duo right now. But as we mentioned, Tennessee football right around the corner here this spring as well. All right, my friend, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Give you the rest of your evening back. I will see you in Nashville on Friday, and we hope to see a lot of the Tennessee fans and Rocky Top Insider listeners and readers there as well. Safe travels to whoever is going over to Nashville, but otherwise, that is going to wrap it up for us today. For Ryan Shumpert, I'm Rick Butler. You've been listening to the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass podcast. We'll see you back for the next one.